Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yeah!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us here on the program. A lot to get to today. Tuesday's always fun because Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us. We'll take a look at the full guest lineup here in just a moment, but with Greg, you never know quite what you're going to get, and he's a lot of fun to talk basketball, sports with. I think we're going to get into some Romeo Langford discussion today, which should not be any surprise, but let's take a look at the full guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us once we get through some news of the day and some headlines here in segment one, Greg will be with us in segment two. Our chat each week with Greg is presented by Coffee Crossing. And then later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will be with us. A lot to get to with him. Recruiting about to really kick off. Indiana has been active with some in-home visits, both in and out of state. Of course, the in-state guys are obvious, Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, but you've got some other interesting players that Indiana has carved some time out yet. And I'm talking about juniors, guys that will be seniors, members of the 2019 class. So we'll go through some of that with Mike when he joins us a little bit later on the program as well. And take a look at some other stuff too. IU baseball's in action tonight against Indiana State. I saw the poll. We'll go through that here in just a moment. But they're now a top 10 team in the country, at least to start the season here, this early point of the 2018 college baseball season. But a lot of kind of interest with Indiana winning the baseball series against Purdue on Sunday. That brought a lot of attention to the program. And then Zach Osterman, who we had yesterday, had a great piece on the upward trajectory of IU baseball, some of the real improvements that have happened, not just on the field as far as success goes with the program, but off the field as well. And then the poll comes out, they're in they break the top 10. So perhaps Indiana baseball gearing up for a big spring with Chris Lemonis as the head coach. So we'll talk about a little bit of that as well. Then we got the quarterback race at football. We got to start talking a little football on the program, gearing up for the Hoosiers 2018 campaign, or I guess I should say 2018 campaign in college football. Will be here after the summer months. So we'll take a look at that. Mike has been in and out of some football activities. He was at Pro Day last week on this day, and he'll check in with us here in the second half of the show. All right, that's the guest lineup. It's presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's time now for some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And big news on an event that folks have come to love, especially IU fans here in the area. Got a real momentum boost with the new coach, Archie Miller, last year. The IU Athletics Tour event at Huber's Orchard and Winery out in Borden. It will take place on Wednesday, May 30th. So about a month and a half, just over a month and a half from today. And that's according to Les Wright, the former Floyd Central Athletic Director, who's very involved in the IU Alumni Association here in the Louisville, Southern Indiana area. Doors on May 30th will open at 5:30 p.m. You want to get a hold of tickets, and we'll have more information here later about how to get tickets. But you want to get a hold of tickets soon because, again, with Archie Miller and other head coaches there, it's expected to sell out. Always a very, very well-attended event by fans in Southern Indiana, one of the more unique fundraising-type tour events that IU Athletics has each year. When they come down to Huber's, you can bet, even in some bleak years for IU Athletics and IU basketball, always good turnouts. But, boy, when Archie Miller was hired in there, it was one of his first events and opportunities to hear him speak it was packed last year. So that event set for Wednesday, May 30th. We'll have more on that and how to get tickets a little bit later. A couple recruiting things. Ohio State with a couple big pickups here over the last couple of days. First off, it was C.J. Walker, a former Indianapolis Tech standout who won a state championship as a sophomore at Tech. Then he committed to Florida State, got some playing time as Florida State made a nice run in the NCAA tournament. I don't just mean, you know, a little bit of playing time here and there. He was a starter, and I thought in many ways a key for that team. He was then, you know, down the stretch for Florida State, announced that he was going to transfer, and he finally announced his destination over the weekend, and it's Ohio State. Indiana made some contact, was interested. I don't know. It's hard to gauge in these transfers, both graduate and traditional transfers, really how interested schools are that do reach out. But C.J. Walker committed to Ohio State. Then Ohio State follows up the Walker commitment. Earlier this morning, a player from the state of Ohio announced that he is going to attend Ohio State. He's one of the top players in the state. His name is Alonzo Gaffney. And so a big commitment from a guy that will be a senior next year in the state of Ohio. So they get a big transfer, but then they get another big player from within the state. And, again, it's going to be hard to get players out of Ohio with, obviously, Chris Holtman, the head coach, and he's got a great background in Ohio. Archie Miller has a lot of connections and involvements over the years in Ohio as well. But this is a big one for Ohio State to keep Gaffney in state. So a couple big pickups for Ohio State here over the last few days. Also, as far as grad transfers go, there have been a lot of names out there. IU has been associated with a handful of folks, of guys that are going to make a transfer as a fifth-year player. But South Dakota player Matt Mooney is recruited by Indiana. Other schools, Missouri, Creighton, TCU, Oregon, Northwestern, Texas Tech, and if I mentioned Indiana, all visited with him this weekend. So, again, Matt Mooney, another name to add to the radar when it comes to graduate transfers that are being pursued and perhaps have some interest from Indiana. He had averaged 18.7 points, 4.1 rebounds, and 3.1 assists per game last season for South Dakota. And, again, he would be a graduate transfer, which means wherever he chooses for next season, he will be eligible to play immediately. A couple other headline things to get to, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A new Division I baseball top 10 came out yesterday. Florida number one in that poll, and Kentucky number eight in that poll. Indiana breaks the top 10 as the 10th best team in the country at this point, according to the latest baseball poll out. So that's very interesting, very hopeful for an Indiana team coming off a big 2-1 series win over Purdue. And, you know, again, getting themselves in position. It's still very early, but to make the Big Ten tournament, and then from there, who knows, if they have the opportunity to host a regional and a super regional, could be a big advantage for them. But they've got to take care of business in the regular season to get that opportunity. The IU baseball team will be in action tonight. Their record already 22-6. And, of course, high school baseball just getting started and struggling to get started with what the weather has been like. So it's crazy that Indiana has played almost 30 games, even though they do get started much earlier, and I guess you could say earlier in the or later in the winter. You know, back in February, the weather actually was a lot better, I guess, to get in games. It was cold, but you didn't have to deal with constant rain and, of course, a lot of snow even popping up here over the last few weeks, enough to mess with some events. But Indiana baseball will host Indiana State tonight at Bart Kauffman Stadium. So another game for IU. And obviously, they're the big favorite in that contest tonight. One other thing I wanted to mention, Brian Snow of Scout.com. You're probably familiar with Brian. He organizes the Forum tip-off event at Southport, which is always one of the great events in Indiana high school basketball, and also covers recruiting for Scout. He's really high on Trey Coleman at Jeffersonville. And Trey had a really solid season for Jeffersonville. He's just a sophomore, will be a junior next season, but he had an update, and it's behind the subscription. You can read it at Pigs.com. I don't want to give away everything, but very interesting read on Coleman. He was being recruited pretty seriously by Xavier and Coach Chris Mack, so it will be interesting to see if that recruitment continues now that Mack and a great majority of his staff are now not at Xavier, but at Louisville, right across the river from Jeffersonville. And I do agree with one thing that Snow wrote about Trey Coleman, this will be a big summer for him as far as his recruiting goes. If he's going to take his game to another level, improve his jump shot, work on some of the areas that they discussed in the story, that will make Trey Coleman a much more legitimate Division I prospect, a great player right now, someone that will be very exciting to follow over the next couple of years, but I think this will be a very big summer for him. So if Chris Mack and Louisville get involved, do Indiana get involved in a home state player in Southern Indiana? I know Trey has been to IU before, so it will be interesting to see. But again, another name as far as recruiting goes to pay attention to right here in our immediate area will be Jeffersonville sophomore, a great athlete, wing-type player, to follow for this summer and, of course, next season as well. That's a look at the Hoosier headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. The headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh, made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Also, don't forget Lee Kelly and I, PK Falkenstein will join us as well. We'll be live from Floyd Central tomorrow night, Wednesday, for high school baseball here on the Big X. It'll be our first broadcast of the season. New Albany at Floyd Central game. So a rivalry game and a Hoosier Hills Conference game to start our coverage of baseball here in the area. Should be a good one. New Albany, I think, is projected by most to be one of the better baseball teams in the area, maybe even the front runner early on in the 4A sectional. And Floyd Central, of course, has had a great run over the last couple of years. They lost a lot of key players and pitchers to graduation a year ago. It will be interesting to get a look at the Highlanders and see what type of team they will have for this season. We'll be doing maybe a game a week or so over the next, the season. We have some other commitments that we do have to air, but we'll have high school baseball for you, especially the big rivalry games. We'll do postseason, of course, and stay with us. I'll tell you each week here on the Hoosier Report what games we'll be doing that week here on the Big X. The 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf cards are hot off the presses. This year's card features Chariot Run, Polo Fields, Woodhaven Country Club, South Park Country Club, Henry County Country Club, Elk Run, Valley View, and Christmas Lake in Santa Claus, Indiana. You can play these courses for under $20 a round with the 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf card. Some of these courses are private, and you can only play if you're a member or if you have a copy of the Big X Sports Radio golf card. There's a limited supply available, so log on today, BigXSportsRadio.com, or call 812-725-1457 to purchase your 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf card. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star after this on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Indianapolis Star sports columnist Greg Doyle with me Tuesdays here on the Hoosier Report, presented by Coffee Crossing. Coffee Crossing would like to recommend you try the new breakfast and expanded lunch menus at their sister company, which is 410 Bakery and Cafe on Main Street in downtown New Albany. Greg, welcome in.
How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good. Trying to figure...
What's your coffee flavor? What's your coffee flavor,
I hate to tell you this. I'm not a coffee guy. When I go to Coffee Crossing, I get tea, hot tea, or something. They got a ton of different items, so tea or something else. So
yeah, they don't call it Green Tea Crossing, Matt. They call it Coffee Crossing. I'm a coffee guy and a four cup a day coffee guy, and I want frou-frou stuff sometimes. I want decaf sometimes. And I want regular stuff. I want it all.
I would actually hate to see you with some espresso shots with all the energy you already have. I would hate to see you with a couple of espresso shots added to your drink.
To be honest with you, when I start getting in trouble, and that's my mouth starts getting moving too fast, I start getting too feisty on Twitter, or I start getting too feisty with my bosses, and this does happen to me for 10, 15 years. What I've done is I start drinking more decaf, among other things. I do a lot of things, but I've in the last actually 3 months, I've had to go more decaf because I do. I don't need. Sometimes that surge that we all need. I've got a natural surge already, but I love coffee so much that I'm drinking it. So the question is, well, how much caffeine does it have? But I'm drinking it.
Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, again, presented by Coffee Crossing. Let's start with Romeo Langford. He's had kind of a whirlwind tour of some of these national-level all-star games. Next up, he'll be out in Portland, Oregon, at the Nike Hoop Summit USA versus World game, which is pretty interesting for this type of game. He made, you know, at each of these stops, at each of these games, they have some media availabilities, and they've all been in different parts of the country. They're not here in Indiana or in the Kentuckiana region, so you get a lot of different media that may not normally get the chance to talk with Romeo or even have followed the storyline as closely as guys like you and I have. So he's had to answer a ton of different questions. He did say something at the Jordan game that alarmed a lot of IU fans. There had been talk, it even had been printed in the paper and other elsewhere, that his dad said, hey, you know, Archie wants us to take another visit to Indiana before we make a decision, and that's likely what we're going to do sometime between, you know, the end of the state tournament and when he makes his decision, which we believe will take place later this month. So Romeo saying up at the Jordan Brand game in Brooklyn that, hey, I'm not going to. The quote was, I've just got to make a decision. So it sounds like he will go to the Hoop Summit, go back home, meet with his parents, and make a decision without taking another trip to Indiana. What are your thoughts on that?
Granted, before I say them, and I've got some strong thoughts on that, before I say these thoughts, we're all just guessing, and we're all right. What I'm about to do is a guess. It's all speculation, and you know, it's like playing poker, and you think the guy has two threes, and it turns out he has four threes. You think you know what's going on. Sometimes you don't. You don't. You think you know, but you don't. You think you see a tell, but you don't. So I could be wrong, but I mean, every fiber in my body says he's not going to IU and just doesn't want to go there and lead them on any more than he already has. I don't know how you don't go to IU for this last visit if they have a chance. That just tells me they're out and he doesn't want to. He can't stand to even look him in the face for 2 days and pretend they're not out. That's just what it tells me, and I could be wrong. And believe me, Matt, I want to be wrong. I want that kid in our state, but that doesn't look good to me.
You know. And you followed college basketball and recruiting, of course, for a long time. And I know that Romeo is right here in my backyard in this area. So, obviously, I can't ever recall or do I ever expect to cover a recruitment as closely and talk about a high school player every day on the program like we have now for the last year or even longer. But it's unbelievable to me how he dominates the headlines. It's unbelievable to me how IU fans, I don't want to say are acting because I don't think anyone's acting bad, but how serious of a decision this is, and they can tell it for the program. The message forms, if you ever take a look at the PEG site or some of the different sites with forms, I mean, it's just blowing up. It's absolutely blowing up, and it's all about Romeo Langford. I can't say I've ever seen a recruitment that is this important to Indiana that fans are making this much about it on a daily basis.
Now, the thing about not knowing what you don't know is that none of us can predict what happens tomorrow or whatever. Like, I mean, who saw Romeo coming? Who saw a player that good, and let's be honest, with the name Romeo coming? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And so I say what I'm about to say knowing that I could be stupidly wrong in about 4 years because I don't know who's coming. None of us do. But, you know, I'm in my upper 40s, and I'll have this job for another 2 decades, and I'll retire at the Indy Star. And it would not surprise me. It will surprise me if we ever see anything like this again in my 20 years I still got left at this paper. I just don't. You talk about the perfect storm. In addition to, you know, Archie coming in, but how good he is. And let's be honest, that name is special. I mean, if his name was John Smith, it just wouldn't be the same. It's just not. I'm sorry. I mean, he's no better because his name is Romeo. But the name Romeo just adds a little layer to it. But I'm going too long about his name. His game is plenty good. We're not going to see so. We haven't seen a player with this much outside of Greg Oden, who actually didn't make it. Outside of Greg Oden, the last player we saw with this much no-brainer NBA game, I guess, was Eric Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd put Romeo ahead of Eric, but I could be wrong about that. But before Eric Gordon, the last player in our state that we saw that had this much, just clearly, you're going to the NBA, kid. And I'm probably going to forget somebody here, but I'm wondering if that player – and we didn't see Larry Bird coming. Nobody knew who the hell he was. So Larry Bird doesn't count. because he didn't have any hype. No one knew. A player that we all knew was coming, George McGinnis. Like, who am I missing between McGinnis? And that's a big gap there. But who am I missing between McGinnis and Eric Gordon? And we're taking Greg Oden out of the equation. That we just knew you're going to be an NBA stud. Trey Lyles doesn't count. We knew he's going to be in the NBA, but I mean, no one has ever said Trey Lyles will be an all-star.
It wouldn't be NBA, but as far as the hype and the media attention, it's Damon Bailey. But again, I don't think,
right.
I don't know that. I mean, I don't know if he was. I wasn't around of age back then to know if he was. I don't even know if they talked about high school kids in that regard as NBA prospects. But he was obviously, if you want to compare someone that had the fanfare and to take Damon Bailey one step further. I know I'm taking it a little bit away from what you said, but Kyle Nedenrip had an unbelievable chart on Romeo and Damon Bailey that it's eerie similar, their stats.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, just unbelievable, really. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that.
Before we get, I don't have a chance. Damon Bailey clearly had all the hype. I'm talking purely NBA game.
Right.
He's going to be a pure NBA star someday. Damon Bailey wasn't that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were going to say somebody else. Who were you going to say?
Oh, as far as NBA potential between McGinnis and Eric Gordon, I'd have to really think on that one for a minute. I mean, there have been guys from Indiana that make the NBA, but it's in high school, they're not, you know, the Teagues. I mean, they were really good,
right.
But in high school, I don't know that you would bet money they would be in the NBA at some point.
Right, that's my point, is what kid that we saw at age 16 that everybody knew, okay, you'll be in an all-star game someday in our state. Greg Oden, yes. Eric Gordon, I'm not sure he's ever actually made an all-star game, but Eric Gordon was a guy we thought would. Anyway, we're wasting too much time on that stuff. But we're not. So this kid doesn't come along very often, is both of our point, and it's something, I feel lucky actually to be here, you know, talking about it, writing about it. We're all lucky. No matter where he ends up, we're lucky. Because, like, we weren't around for George McGinnis. And the people that were around for that and got to talk about it, granted they didn't have radio like we do now, but they were lucky because they saw it happening right before their eyes. We're seeing this happening right before our eyes, and we're all lucky for it.
Someone just said, by the way, Glenn Robinson, you know, as far as I – and, again, that's a little – I would have been awful young when he came through, but he did have,
yeah,
I think, NBA hype in high school,
yeah.
No question about it, coming out of Gary.
You know what? And you know what? And what that shows, and not just for my own – bias is the wrong word, but the only blind spot I have there is everybody's blind spot in our state. Not everybody, but certainly not that person, but a lot of folks. Gary doesn't get treated like it's in our state. I've been here just 4 years, but I figured that one out. Is that Gary is kind of Chicago, and Gary is just kind of, people don't talk about Gary. They just don't, and it's a damn shame. But Gary doesn't get that Hoosier feeling that the rest of the state does. And I don't, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, but anyway, there you go.
How about Sean Kemp? Another one sent in here.
There you go. That's a great one. That's a great one. And he was weird. I mean, he was so good. Like, he was the original, not the original, Daryl Dawkins was one of the originals, but he was one of the original high school to pros guys, but not because he didn't pull LeBron and just enter the draft. He, you know, wasn't eligible or whatever happened to him. He didn't play college ball. You know, I mean, so yeah, that's true. That's true. But, so I missed on that one too. But point being, we got to go back. That's going back 20. That's going back 30 years for both those guys, or 20 years. No, 30 years. Hell, that's almost 30 years for both those guys. So I guess my point still stands. We're seeing something really, really special, and there's a reason why he's dominating the headlines, and it's not just that cute name of his, although that doesn't hurt.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. One more thing about Romeo, really more about these All-Star games. And I know we talked about the McDonald's game, and you gave your thoughts on that. We talked about how really the workouts and practices in front of the NBA scouts long-term are much more important than the game, which is what the fans enjoy, and all the slam dunks. And, hell, a guy in the Jordan game had like 46 points in an All-Star game, which is really unbelievable. But don't you cringe when you see – someone get hurt. We saw Zion Williamson dislocate his thumb. He's not playing in these next couple All-Star games. There was a moment in the Jordan game on Sunday where Romeo got inadvertently elbowed. It looked like in the eye or the forehead, and went down in some extreme pain, had to leave the court for a while. I don't know about you, but I just shudder. It doesn't matter if it's Romeo or Zion or anybody else when the kid in an All-Star game goes down like that.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And then history is full of stories like that. And I forget the kid's name, but there was a player from the New England Patriots about 20 years ago at the Pro Bowl, was a running back. I think he's out of Georgia. I think he shredded his knee playing beach playing football in the sand, you know, in Hawaii for the Pro Bowl. History is full of just guys that just get hurt at stupid events, and it's life-changing for them. And so, yeah, but the answer is not, well, then let's not have these anymore, because they'll, you know, they'll get hurt somewhere else, you know, or they won't. But, yeah, it's when you see something like Zion Williams and you just hope, and you're sure, you know, that thumb, it'll be fine someday. But, man, because we all, just like I said, we're lucky to watch Romeo right now. We're lucky to talk about it. We're going to be lucky to watch Zion Williams too. And so you don't want to, speaking selfishly, the heck with what that kid wants, although I want nothing bad for him, but I want to watch him play. You know, I want to watch him play at Duke. I'd rather watch him play at South Carolina. That would have been a really cool move if he'd stayed in state, but whatever. I want to watch him play in Duke, then I want to watch him play in the NBA, because we've never seen a guy 6'6", 280 that can jump like that. I mean, he's absurd. He's nuts. That Zion Williamson is the nuttiest athlete in high school I think I've ever seen, and that's a mouthful. LeBron was nutty, but he was, you know, 6'8", 225. I mean, he looked normal. He didn't look like he looks now, I promise you. I saw him. I mean, he was 6'8", 230, whatever. He looked like a man, but he didn't look like this. Zion Williamson's nutty. That's a nutty. And before Zion lost some weight, his body looked like he was wearing a pillowcase, and he was a pillow inside. And he was still jumping 50 inches. I mean, that's the nuttiest athlete I've ever seen, so I hope he's okay.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, Coffee Crossing brings us Greg Doyle every Tuesday. Before I let you go, I do want to, and I don't follow it as probably as closely as I should. I do start paying attention a little bit more now, or close to now, because playoffs coming up just around the corner. But Indiana Pacers playing some great ball. Victor Oladipo is a great story. I saw a nice piece in the Star, wasn't by you, but by the Pacers writer, about how he fits almost perfectly a new award the NBA has put in, most improved player, which I don't know how he could not get that award. It will be interesting to see how that works out. But he's got to be the front runner, you would have to believe. But really a special year, and I think the Pacers have an opportunity to do something in the playoffs.
It's hard to wrap my brain around how good they are this year, given how they weren't supposed to be this good. And I'm not saying that just because I didn't think they're going to be any good. And granted, I was dead wrong, but everybody thought that. I mean, nobody, I mean, they're obviously the exception. Someone picked Maryland, BC or whoever it was to beat Virginia. I'm sure someone picked it in the bracket, but by and large, everyone thought that would never happen. Nobody thought the Pacers were going to do what they're doing. But then again, in all of our defense, we never saw Oladipo average, you know, 24, 5, and 5. Or so. He's never done this before. He had it in him, clearly, and just needed to, you know, be a little bit. I mean, he's only 23 or something. I mean, he's a young man, 24, whatever he is. He's young, and he's never combined this age. He had it at Oklahoma City, but he had Westbrook playing with him. This maturity level, this age, and the chance to be the man. But no one saw that coming. Sabonis, we all knew he's going to be better than he was at the Thunder. He was a young kid last year, young kid this year. But I don't think anybody thought he'd be a double-double guy right now. Bogdanovich is so much better than we all thought he was going to be. I mean, Kevin Pritchard is the real MVP. I mean, what he's put together is just shocking.
Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. How far can you see the Pacers going in the playoffs this year? What would be?
Oh, right. Good point. Well, it depends. If they play, it looks like they can play the 76ers, but the Sixers could lose to Milwaukee on Wednesday night. And there you go. It looks like they're playing the Sixers. They can get past the Sixers. I don't think I'd predict it, but they sure can. I realize the Sixers, if they play the Sixers, that means the Sixers have to win tonight and tomorrow night. That'll put their winning streak at, I don't know, like 18 games in a row. So here I'm saying they can beat an 18-game-in-a-row win streak 4 times in 7. But they can. On paper, they can. Cleveland, granted, Cleveland's falling apart, yada, 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 but LeBron doesn't lose in the playoffs. I mean, history shows he doesn't lose until he gets to the NBA Finals. He might lose for the finals this year, but he's not losing the first round. I don't care who he's playing against. So they can beat the Sixers. I wouldn't pick it, but I wouldn't be all that surprised if they got past them.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, always with us. Tuesdays presented by Coffee Crossing, who would like to recommend you try their new breakfast and expanded lunch menus at their sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Greg, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for the chat, and we'll do it again next week.
I hope so. Thanks, Matt. Bye.
All right. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk some IU basketball, football, and more with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com coming up next here, right on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will be with us here in just a moment. Don't forget high school baseball coming your way Wednesday night. Lee Kelly, P.K. Falkenstein, and I will have New Albany at Floyd Central, so a big rivalry game to start our broadcast season of high school games here in the area. Speaking of baseball, Mike, it's been fun to follow this IU baseball team here at the early point of the season. They had a big series. They won against Purdue, rival, over the weekend, and broke into the top 10 of the Division I college baseball poll. Zach Osterman had a great story earlier this week that we spoke with Zach about Monday, just kind of about the program and where it's used to be at, facility-wise and priority-wise, and a lot of ways off the field that just weren't quite where a Big Ten program needs to be. And where it's at now, it's really remarkable, and I think we've got a fun team to follow to fill in some of the gaps between the start of college football with Chris Lemonis' baseball team.
Yeah, they have some really good depth, and they just got off to a really good start this year. And with the schedule that they play, they're definitely look postseason bound and a real threat to win the Big Ten regular season. A lot more baseball to be played and beyond the regular season for this team, and top 10 ranking shows that.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. You know, had a great conversation with Zach about some of the improvements, and right across the river from U of L baseball, I've been to a ton of games across the river because, number one, they're a lot of fun. They've been free until this season. They're going to charge a little bit to get in, which I have no problem with. But there have been a lot of Southern Indiana players that we follow at local high schools, New Albany and Jeffersonville come to mind first, that have played, had guys that go on to play and really be stars at U of L. So a lot of reasons to follow what Coach McDonald's done over there. With that being said, I'm familiar with the crowds and the interest in Louisville baseball because of those reasons. What for a game tonight for IU baseball, they host Indiana State. What's a crowd like for an IU baseball game? Been there for some regional games, but never for just a regular season game. Is there a solid turnout each and every night, or is it just really crowded when it comes to the Purdue's and the postseason games and those sorts of things?
No, just I would add really crowded for good weather games.
Which are hard to come by this year.
Yeah, really. No, it's a really nice setup that they have there now in Bloomington, an outfield that you can go sit on the grass, and it's elevated so you can see what's going on really well. Areas, for your kids to run around. And, the rest of the arena is set up very simple and very attractive for the local fans. And a lot of people have become regulars. It's a little bit similar to what's happened with women's basketball. People appreciate the setup and just keep coming back. A little bit of that goes on with IU soccer, too. But you have it now with baseball, something you didn't have, before the Schwarber-Travis era. But that all coincided with building that stadium. And that helped bring, some talent to Bloomington. And now that they're consistently pretty good, people have made that something to do. I think it benefits from the time of year that it has. I mean, it gets really rolling this month, and there's no basketball to compete against. And things get really heated in May. And when the weather turns great, it's become a regular routine for a lot of people in Bloomington. And the attendance has been really impressive. I mean, I don't know how good it was this past, with some of these cold weather games, but when it's nice, people really turn out.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Starting our conversation today with some IU baseball. Again, top 10 ranked, number 10 actually, in the latest poll. They host Indiana State tonight. Mike, let's switch gears and talk some basketball and recruiting. And if we're going to talk recruiting, even though we do it about every day, we've got to start with Romeo Langford. And, there's really not a lot new to report. Obviously, He made a comment at the Jordan Brand, one of the media availabilities, that he wasn't going to take any more visits, which there's a couple different schools of thought. IU fans have, you know, been pretty concerned about what that means. I really myself, as far as his whole recruiting go, didn't make that much of it. I think that he's probably getting to a point where he's tired of a lot of the things and a lot of the questions, and maybe just wants to have fun at these all-star games and go home and make a decision. I know some people will tell you, oh, he's had his decision forever. He's waiting to do this. I don't buy all that. I don't know, but I don't buy all that. I guess my question to you is a little bit along the lines of what we've talked about previous. As the owner, editor of a site that's been around for ages, and I always tell people, you know, Pigs is the original. He was doing recruiting when there weren't regular recruiting updates, when there weren't national recruiting analysts that had websites. It was like Clark Francis doing a written report and you doing an IU website with updates and links. But with that being said, you've got a great measuring stick over the years of some of the hot moments in IU basketball, when coaches are fired, when coaches are hired, when there's big recruiting news going on and Indiana gets a player like Cody Zeller. But have you ever seen anything like how the fans are reacting to every little nugget of information, every little quote from Romeo or his father, and just really, in some ways, just going overboard with it, I think, just losing their minds at time. But have you ever, on the Pigs forum, which if you're not a subscriber, it's the place to go to talk IU basketball with fans and others, have you ever seen a time like this with the worry and the discussion and the angst almost that's out there over this situation?
No, it's unprecedented. We've not had a player of Romeo's caliber extended to this late. Just, everything's been decided before a senior season when it comes to a Cody Zeller, a Jared Jeffries, Eric Gordon player, even then Noah Vonley, Thomas Bryan, other, you know, five-star level players. It was all, well, Thomas Bryan extended a little bit, but he wasn't nearly as highly ranked as Romeo was. So it's been crazy. Romeo really has never said much to his credit, I think. And that has, added to people hanging on every little word. So here we are in the middle of April, and I think he's serious. He said he really wants to make the decision at the end of April, but yet he's, you know, not sure what school might be. Had he just have anybody that he told me in Atlanta was really put itself out there, and he was just going to kind of compact everything into the 2 weeks following the Nike Summit game, which is Friday. So he'll get it done still in April, he's pretty sure.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, joining us. Along the recruiting lines as well, we've talked some about the opportunity here in the spring to take in-home visits with some of the key 2019 players in the state. Trace Jackson Davis had a visit last week. Keon Brooks up in Fort Wayne met with the IU coaches on Saturday night. But the IU staff also was out of the area. They met with Trendon Watford, of course, the brother of a former great Christian Watford at Indiana. And Trendon is national top 10 rated player, but Indiana seems to be right there with him as his recruitment progresses along. So I think for Indiana to get the opportunity to check in with Watford and his family before the spring travel circuit gets underway is probably a good sign that Indiana may be in that race down to the end as well.
Yeah, he's really, really good. I had a chance to see him play in Florida in Christmas break time, and wow, he's definitely better than his brother. And so that he would be a tremendous get. Alabama's done everything they can to make a push for him. And he's a Bama fan, having grown up in Birmingham, but I would think it's more of a Bama football fan. But yeah, that one should be interesting. I think, I would say the odds are a little bit better with the Indiana kids, but Indiana, showed some serious interest by making a trip there in the first opportunity possible in this first window of allowed visits to juniors' hometowns.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, joining us. Basketball recruiting, the topic. you know, graduate transfers, Indiana, I saw another name. We talked about it here in the first segment today that IU mentioned with a kid out of South Dakota. What's the time window for that? I had somebody ask me this question, and I wasn't quite sure. Is there a period where guys that are making the graduate transfer moves have to be settled by, or is this something that it may not know anything if Indiana's going to get a graduate transfer, not going to get one for still some time here as we approach even further into the off season?
No, there's no timetable. I mean, you could have one in August, but the player has to get his release. Any transfer has to get his release from the university first, and then with the graduate transfer, he has to find a program of study that is not offered by his current school. That's the loophole, allows you to play immediately without having to sit out, and that can be complicated. For Indiana especially, I think Indiana's a little bit less of having the offerings necessary for grad transfers, or a little bit less stringent on that loophole. So now a lot of it'll be at some players, I think, that won't be able to come to Indiana even if they're released because of the academic situation. But each case is different. Obviously, it worked for Nick Seisloft and Max Bielefeld, so it could work for this Matt Mooney guy from South Dakota, who's a tremendous player, 19 points a game and so forth.
Mike, also along the lines of recruiting, we're not too far away from the first big weekend or two of spring events where coaches are allowed to be out, Division I coaches at least, allowed to be out on the road. The shoe circuits will be around. I think the Nike EYBL is in Indianapolis that weekend as well. Tell us about where you expect Archie Miller and other big-time coaches to be at here over the next few weeks, watching players for the first opportunity to be out recruiting of the spring.
First opportunity is Friday, April 20th, a week from this Friday. Dallas is the biggest spot for talent. Nike EYBL will be there. The Under Armour circuit would be there. NY2LA, that has a guy that Indiana's really hot on, DJ Carton from the Quad Cities area, will be there, I believe. And Adidas will be spread around, but we'll have some guys maybe in Indianapolis that first weekend. And the second weekend is April 27th through 29th, and we're talking about when college coaches can actually watch these players. They only have two weekends in the spring, and then can't watch again at AAU events until July. That's when we have a lot of talent coming to the Indianapolis area. Most of it will be in Westfield at the Nike EYBL. EYBL stands for League Youth Basketball League. And that's at this huge complex in Westfield, in Jonathan Berg Fieldhouse, if I remember right. And also Under Armour is coming to Fisher's Fieldhouse for one of their Under Armour Association events. And they always have some pretty good talent at their deals. So that's when fans in Indiana can get some a look at the nation's best, because those are open to the public. So the last weekend in April is the best opportunity of the year, really, for Hoosier State fans to watch the top 100 players in the nation in the prep ranks.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us Tuesdays. We cover a lot of ground when it comes to IU basketball, recruiting, and more. Mike, as always, thanks for coming on.
All right, man. Take care.
We'll head to a commercial break, come back with a final segment here on this Tuesday edition of the program, and wrap things up for you right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on a Tuesday edition of the program. Couple minutes until we wrap things up and get out of here for today. Don't forget, we do this every day. 11 a.m. is the live show right here on the Big X, 1450 and 96.1. If you missed that, you can catch the replay many days at 3 o'clock. We're available at 3 in that hour as well. And then, of course, also available anytime as a podcast. You can search soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, or you can also go directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, or you can search the Hoosier Report at Apple Podcast, a couple ways to stay up with the program and all the great guests that are kind enough to take time out and join me each day here on the program as we offer you complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. I mentioned high school baseball on Wednesday night. Looking forward to being out at the ballpark. It's a 7 o'clock first pitch for New Albany at Floyd Central. Two rivals, always good when they hook up, and we'll have that broadcast, our first of the season. Our plan is to bring you the big rivalry games as often as we can, so we'll have a lot of the big ones. New Albany, Jeff, New Albany, Floyd Central, Providence, Jeff, Providence, Floyd. A lot of good ones coming up here over the next couple weeks, and then, of course, we'll follow local teams into the 4A sectional as well at Jeffersonville this year. So, and talking some high school baseball, we do that on Thursdays. Lee Kelly will be with me. We'll have another coach on this week, shooting for Derek Ellis, the coach at Jeffersonville, to join us Thursday on the program. We had New Albany coach Chris McIntyre last week to preview the Bulldogs for the upcoming season. Hope to get word on the Red Devils coming up here in just a few days. All right, tomorrow on the program, Wednesday, looking forward to a conversation with Jeff Rabjohns. Believe it or not, we're going to talk more about the Romeo recruiting madness as Romeo prepares for the Nike Hoop Summit game, which will be played out in Portland, Oregon at the Moda Center this Friday. Also, speaking of the Hoop Summit game, I saw yesterday USA Basketball tweeted out, I think the international team started practicing over the weekend. Some of those players came in maybe as early as Saturday and Sunday, but they definitely had a full practice on Monday. There was a record number of NBA scouts and personnel at the World Team practice for the Hoop Summit game. I think it was 60-something scouts there on Monday that are going to be there through the whole week, and the number was expected to grow. And I don't know when the USA team is going to assemble out there or when they have their first practice. It may very well be today. But again, just like the McDonald's game, and the Jordan game as well, some of these workouts and opportunities to play in front of the scouts, really important, maybe even a bigger piece for the actual players with NBA talent and NBA aspirations than the game itself, which is more so for the fans. Thanks for being with us. I'll be with you tomorrow at 11, high school baseball tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, so plenty of things going on local with the Big X tomorrow. Have a great day. We'll catch you tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.